Today's daf is my katan daf yudalid, and we are at the beginning of a new perek, the third perek of Masechtas Moed Katan, perek ve'elu megalchen, four lines from the bottom of daf yud gimel amud beis. Today's daf is being learned as a schus refuah shalema for Shlomo ben Sarah Aliza, Avadia ben Miriam Leah, Moshe Abba ben Devorah, Devorah bas Mecha, Shmu ben Tehila, Avram ben Gittel Edel, Sarah Nechama bas Rus Malka, Rafal Kas ben Fega, Baruch ben Rachel, Chaya Malka bas Batsheva, Pinya Gittel bas Rachel Shendel, Chaya Sarah bas Esther, Meira Chava bas Shoshana, and Esther Kreindel bas Devorah. Today's daf is also being learned to Ilui Nishmas, Shalom ben Yisachar Tzvi, Malka Rezel Bas Yehuda, Esther Bas Chaim, and Shimon Ben Nachum. So we are at the beginning of a new perek, but not just a new perek in the literal sense, but a new perek, a new chapter in the figurative sense as well. We are very much up to the second part of Masechtas Moed Katan. So Perek Ve'elu Megalchen is one of the most famous prakim in Shas. And the topic of Perek Ve'elu Megalchen is the sugya of Avevos. It's yodua that Reb Chaim Kanievsky, the Gadol Hadar, wrote svarim on many obscure areas in halacha. And if you go through the svarim, the hakdama of many of the svarim are almost all identical. He begins quoting the Sefer Chassidim. Reb Chaim Kanievsky says that the Sefer Chassidim writes that if you find a mitzvah that people are not doing, or if you find an area of learning that people are not studying, what you should do is you should be the one to do the mitzvah, you should be the one to study that limud. And by doing that, you're going to be noitel schar keneged kulam. You're going to get reward not only for the learning that you're doing, but really for the reward that everybody else should have gotten had they been the ones to do the mitzvah. And the Sefer Chassidim says that a mitzvah that nobody wants to observe, or a mitzvah or in learning that nobody wants to learn, is tantamount to a mace mitzvah. And just like if somebody would bury a mace that has no kovrim, we know it's one of the greatest mitzvahs that a person could do. Mace mitzvah goes down as one of the most important areas of halacha. There are things that nothing could be doicha, but a mace mitzvah does have the ability to be doicha. And the halacha is that when someone buries the base mitzvah, he gets a tremendous schar, says the Sefer Chassidim. The same is true with the mitzvah that people are, for whatever reason, shying away from, or from a limud that, for whatever reason, people are shying away from. So Agoyin Agadah Reb Chaim Kanievsky, in the Hakdama to so many of his svarim, he says that, I'm writing a sefer on an area that nobody really, for whatever reason, delved into, and as a result, there's an Indian based on the Sefer Chassidim to be noitel schar keneged kulam, and that's Reb Chaim's disclaimer, that's his explanation for why it is he's writing a whole sefer on Egla Arufa, or a kuntres on grasshoppers, or he's writing a pirish on the brisa of the Melachas HaMishkan, or a pirish on Mesechtes Kutin, Mesechtes Tfilin, Mesechtes Mezuzah. These things actually exist. And says Reb Chaim, it's because people don't learn it. And the fact that people don't learn it, that's not a reason not to learn it. Just the opposite. You see from the Sefer Chassidim that when it comes to learning Torah, there's an inyan to be a contrarian. To the contrary, you bet against the market. And if everybody is not learning a certain thing, you should dafka be the one to go ahead and learn it. Because if you learn it, not only will you get schar for Talmud Torah, but there's a concept of being noitel schar keneged kulam. This Sefer Chassidim is Yodua. What's not as Yodua is the context in which the Sefer Chassidim said what he said. The Sefer Chassidim, which was written by Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, one of the Rishonim, he made an observation. He looked around and he saw that there were people that were learning Shas, but they were skipping one Masechta. The Masechta that they were skipping was Masechtas Moed Katan. And to address the fact that people weren't learning Masechtas Moed Katan, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid wrote in Sifkatan Reish Samach Aleph in Sefer Chassidim that it's a very big mistake. And not only should you not skip Moed Katan, but because people are skipping and no one's learning it, run! I would dafka make an extra effort to learn Moed Katan. Because if you're going to do that, you're being Mekayim Meis Mitzvah in your Talmud Torah, and you're going to be Noitel Schar Keneged Kulam. So said Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that why is it that people were skipping it? Why do people not want to learn it? Because they were intimidated about Mashkin Beis Hashlochen? To us, we're not farmers, it's intimidating. Back in the day, these were everyday scenarios. The first two prakim of Masechtas Moed Katan, not easy, not by a long stretch, but again, not the hardest two prakim in Shas. So why was it that people didn't want to learn Moed Katan? It's not because it was hard. It's not because it wasn't a Negei L'maisa. Hilchus Chol HaMoed is extremely Negei L'maisa. It was because of the third parak. It's because of parak Ve'ilu Megalchen. And people felt a superstition not to want to learn sugyas related to Avelos. Because they felt that if you learn about Avelos, Simana Milsi, and maybe it's not going to be a good thing. And that's what Rav Yehuda HaChassid addressed. He said it's a mistake. You don't skip Masechtas Ma'akatan. You don't skip parak Ve'ilu Megalchen. To the contrary, Shlomo HaMelech said, "Toiv lo leches al beis avel, mi leches al beis mishta, b'asher hu soiv kol ha'adam v'achayit en aliba." And Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid quotes that pasuk, and he says, "Toiv lo leches al beis avel, learn my cotton. It's toiv lo leches, perik ve'elu magalchen." And even though it deals with the laws of Avelos, but at the same time, this is something that you very much should learn. Immediately afterwards, however, says Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, that if you're a person that's a little paranoid, you're a little bit afraid. So he says, if you learn it in a way when no one's going to know you're learning it. Meaning, do a pitzina, no one's going to know you're learning it. And like this, you won't have to worry about any superstition that maybe you have to worry about. It's clear that what Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid was referring to is it seems that this paranoia that people had, that they don't want to learn Masechtas Ma'akatan, it was related to Ayin Hara. People were afraid that if someone's going to see others learning laws of Avelos, they're going to start thinking, oh, he's learning Avelos, something Chalila, but can't even say out of your mouth. Maybe it could happen. And it's for that reason, says Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, if there's something that you're sensitive to, so then do it in a way where no one's really going to know what you're doing. What comes to mind, of course, is the Chassam Sofer, who talked about things like this in different places, most notably based on the Gemara Masechtas Chulin, Daf Tzadik Hayom Beis, where the Gemara says that Shmuel was Badik B'Safra. Shmuel, when he had a big decision to make, he was Badik B'Safra. He would use a sefer to be his Urim V'Tumim, to be his guiding light, to tell him what exactly he should and shouldn't do. Now, Pashit, what does it mean, Shmuel Badik B'Safra? He would open up a sefer, and depending on the page that he opened to, he would do his proverbial Goyal Hagra. But the Chassam Sofer said that's not what it means. What it means is that Shmuel would make decisions based on what it was he was learning. So if he was learning one Masechta Bavakama, he would do one thing. And if he was learning Yevamis, he would do something else. If he was learning Chulin, he would do one thing. And if he was learning Zvachim and Menachis, he would do something else. Shmuel was Badik B'Safra. Shmuel took what he was learning very much into account, very seriously, as it relates to making different decisions that were going on in his life. And it's in line with this Sefer Chassidim, that it seems that there was some paranoia about learning specifically Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen, and it's because of the fact that it deals with Avelos. But either way, Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid says not to learn it is certainly a mistake. And he says to the contrary, not only is it something that you should learn, but it's something that if you're going to learn, you're going to end up being noitel schar keneged kulam. The truth is, there were tshuvas that were written as recently as in the last several decades by Gedolei Yisrael with regards to learning Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen. At the end of the day, there's a Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid, there is a Sefer Chassidim that already expressed the havamina of maybe a person should be concerned when he learns Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen. But all the Gedolim, Ke'ish Echad, Belev Echad, they all say that it's Klarvi the Tug, that the Rishonim and the Achronim all learned Ma'akatan the same way they learned every other Masechta. You have Rashi on Ma'akatan, the same way you have it on other Masechtas. The Bali Toysfas are on Ma'akatan, the same way you have the Bali Toysfas on other Masechtas. You have the Ritva on Masechtas Ma'akatan, the same way you have the Ritva on other Masechtas. V'chulu v'chulu. It's not like if you're going to open up an Achron, so you'll see he wrote on Brachis, and then Yav Shabbos, and then Erev and Amsachim, and then he skips from Megillah to Chagigah. There's no such thing. Everybody learned Ma'akatan. So Me'olam, there was never a real concerted effort not to learn Ma'akatan. There were people that were paranoid, and the Sefer Chassidim called them out. Toivol lechas abeis avam, lechas abeis mishnah. It's a mistake. It's not something that you're supposed to do. And befrat befrat. The whole issue is some Ayin Hara type of concept. Well, if you're learning it b'chabura, and if you're learning it with the Seder at Afyoimi, and if you're learning it with the Rabbim, so that whole Svara doesn't even make sense. Because the whole Svara would be, if a person is punked by himself learning it, okay, so now maybe there's a Simana Milsi. But if Gans Klal Yisrael is learning it, the fact you have the Schus of Talmud Teri, the Rabbim, there's a truth from Rav Vosner, where Rav Vosner and Shevet HaLevi, he speaks out in beautiful adjectives and terminology, b'lashonei hazav, how poshid it is that there is absolutely nothing to even think about when it comes to learning Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen, Masechtas Ma'akatan, certainly when learning it b'chabura. But I just had one hergish. We mentioned this 7.5 years ago when we started Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen, and I think it's worth repeating. And that is that Ve'ilu Megalchen is one of the prakim that's brought down in Halacha that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. Right? It's a limud that has a lot to do with Avelos. And because it has a lot to do with Avelos, so times we are not allowed to learn ordinary Talmud Torah, so Peretz Ve'ilu Magalchin is in the list of things. Kamsa Bar Kamsa. Right? This is one of the sugyas that a person is allowed to learn. But the Poskim speak out that when you learn the limudim on Tisha B'Av, that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av, you have to be careful with the way you learn it. Meaning, you can't go overboard. You can't learn it with too much raid. You can't make it where it's going to be Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev. So if you want to learn the trick in a Gemara, that's something that you're allowed to do. But to the extent that you're going to get involved with all the lumdis and the raid and the super raid, that's already something you can't do. Because if you're going to do that, now it's going to be a limud of simcha. And what's the difference if you're learning the Eilu Magalchen or if you're learning Besulinissus? It's going to be a limud of Pekudei Hashem Yisharim Mesam Chelev. And that's something that you're not allowed to do. So my heritage was that if when we learn Perek Ve'ilu Magalchen, we learn it with the raid. And we learn it with all the gishmak. This has nothing to do with that limud that you're allowed to learn on Tisha B'Av. This has nothing to do with the limud of Rabbi Yehuda HaChassid. If the only way you can learn the Eilu Megalchen on Tisha B'Av is if you learn it without the raid, so you say, Maris, if you learn it with the raid, so nish yana limud from the Eilu Megalchen. So as much as raid is always critical and it's always important, I think when we learn Perek Ve'ilu Megalchen, we have to maybe make an extra dagush. Either way, on that note, we already spoke at a raid bite before we started the parak. That's the whole point. And on that note, we begin one of the most famous prakim in Shas, the third and final parak of Mesechtes Moed Katan, Parak Ve'elu Megalchen, which, as we'll see, does not begin with Hilchos Avelos, but rather begins as a continuation to the first two prakim, the first 12 dafim of the Mesechta, and that is the laws of Chol HaMoed. The following people are allowed to cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. Now, clearly implied from even these words, is that not everyone's allowed to cut their hair on Chol HaMoed. Now, what does it mean to cut your hair? Your hair, your beard, to shave. We're not going near that. But the point is, Ve'elu Megalchen simply means you're allowed to make a giluach, a tiglachas, a chalaka, marke de islay, umarke de islay. So says the Mishnah that ordinarily one is not allowed to be megaleach amoid. However, there is a list that are Ve'elu Megalchen amoid. So who's this list? Habam b'medina sayam. If somebody was overseas, he was b'medina sayam, and now he came home, he arrived on Chol HaMoed. Now this person couldn't cut his hair before Yontif, he wasn't around. So now he just showed up at Chol HaMoed. So this person's allowed to be Megaleach B'Moed. With Beis HaShivya, where somebody was in captivity. He was literally captured. And he was released on Chol HaMoed. So he had no way of cutting his hair before Yontif. Vayoytzim Beis HaSurim, if somebody was let out of jail. Vahamenuda, or somebody was a menuda. He was in Nidui, he was in Cherim. She'etiru le'chachamim. And then the Chachamim were mater the Cherim. Now someone that's in Cherim is also not allowed to cut his hair. V'chein Mishen Nishol le'chacham v'hoda. Or more posture, somebody made a neder. His neder was that he's not going to cut his hair. And then on Chol HaMoed, he said, Shimon Rabbeisai, Mutalach, Mutalach, Mutalach. And now all of a sudden, he is allowed to cut his hair. V'ha Nazir, or better, somebody was a Nazir. A Nazir is not allowed to cut his hair. His Hashlamas Nazirus, his Nazir is completed on Chol HaMoed. V'ha Mitzayra Ha'oyla Mitu'asa L'Tarasa. Or somebody that was a Mitzayra that was Tameh, and now he's becoming Tar. So Mitzayra also has different dinam as it relates to his hair. All these people, says the Mishnah, are Megalchem B'Moed. So ordinarily, a person is not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. However, if somebody was an oynes, but he was like a legitimate bona fide oynes, and he had no way of cutting his hair before Yontif, so then the halach is, he falls into this short list that's mentioned in the Mishnah of the Ve'elu Megalchem B'Moed. Similarly, the Ve'elu Mechapsim B'Moed. The following are a list of people that are allowed to wash their clothing on Chol HaMoed. And again, clearly implied is that ordinarily a person is not allowed to wash his clothing on Chol HaMoed. There's a list of people that can. So says the Mishnah, who are the people that are allowed to wash their clothing? It's a very similar list. Habam b'din esayah, somebody that comes from overseas, umibes hashivya, or someone was led out of captivity. Vayoytz mibes asurim, someone was led out of jail. Uminudah sheyetir lechachamim, or somebody was in cherem and the chachamim were not to the cherem on Chol HaMoed. V'chei mishin nishol lechachamim v'hoter, or somebody was had made a neder that he wasn't going to wash his clothing. Hutter, and the neder became mutter. Now notice, the seifa of the Mishnah, the Ve'elu Mechapsin, is a repeat of the Ve'elu Megalchen. However, there were two cases in the Ve'elu Megalchen that are not mentioned in the Ve'elu Mechapsin. Hanazir v'hamitzoyra ha'oyla mitumasi l'tarasa. They're examples of Ve'elu Megalchen b'moyed, but they're not examples of Ve'elu Mechapsin b'moyed. And the reason is very simple. A nazir is not allowed to cut his hair, but he's allowed to wash his clothing. A mitzayra is not allowed to cut his hair, but he's allowed to wash his clothing. So it's for that reason, the the Nazir and the Metzora mentioned the Reish of the Mishnah, but they're not mentioned the Seif of the Mishnah. Continues the Mishnah, mit b'chois hayodayim, if someone has a towel that he uses to clean his hands, umit b'chois hasaparim, or these were the towels that were used by the barbers, umit b'chois hasafag, or these were towels that were used to clean your body, hazovin v'hazovois, v'hanidois v'hayoldois, different types of tmeim, v'chol ha'olim mitum al tayr, or any other person that was tamei that became tar, harei elim mutarim, these people are also allowed to wash their clothing because their clothing is tamei, so therefore they're allowed to wash their clothing to be metairik. The shar kaladim, all other people asurim, are going to be awesome, says the Gemara. So the Mishnah said two halachas: the elu megalchem b'moed and the elu mechapsim b'moed. The implication of the elu megalchem b'moed is that ordinarily a person is not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. However, there's a list of exceptions to the rule. The implication of Eilu Mechapsim B'Moed is the same thing. Ordinarily, a person is not allowed to wash his clothing. However, there's a list of exceptions, and they're the Eilu Mechapsim B'Moed. So says the Gemara. Regarding the first part of the Mishnah, which is going to be the topic of today's daf, V'Shar Kol Adam Ma'itai Ma'asurin, the Eilu Megalchem B'Moed, implying that ordinarily a person is not allowed to be Megalchem B'Moed, why not? What's wrong with cutting your hair on Chol HaMoed? Says the Gemara, Ketanan, the reason can be explained with a Mishnah. A Mishnah Mesechtes Tainus. The Mishnah over there was discussing the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Maimon. So the Anshei Mishmar, these were the Kehanim and the Levian that were on duty. It was their job to do the Avodah during that particular week in the Beis HaMikdash. The Anshei Maimon, these were the Yisraelim who also played a role in the Karbanos that were brought. And again, if it was your job as a Kohen to do the Avodah, you're a member of the Anshei Mishmar. If it's your job as a Levi to do the Avodah, you're a member of the Anshei Mishmar. If you're a Yisrael and it's your turn to do your thing in the Beis HaMikdash, you're a member of the Anshei Maimon. So the Mishnah is discussing the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Maimon. And it says, Asurim, these people, the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Maimon, are prohibited, lisaper, to cut their hair, ulechabes, and to wash their clothing. Ubechamishi, on Thursday, mutarin, they're allowed to, mipnei kavod ha-shabbos. Amar Rabbi Bar Bachana, Rabbi Elazar, and Rabbi Bar Bachana said the name, Rabbi Elazar, my time, what's the reason for this? Why can't the Anshei Mishmar, the Anshei Maimid, cut their hair, and why can't they wash their clothing? You would think, if they're on duty now, they should look their finest, they should look their best. So, because they're working in the Beis HaMikdash right now, asurin, so the Gemara says, the reason is, it's precisely because they're supposed to look their best. And Chazal was so sensitive to the way they would look while they were doing the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. A person is serving Hashem, is being Mesharis, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hakriveu Nolef HaChasecho, the Pasuk says, right? You're supposed to look your finest. You're supposed to look your best. These Kehanim are going to be wearing Big Day Kahuna. They're supposed to look good. So because we dafka want them to look good, we tell them that you're not allowed to cut your hair during the week. You know what's going to happen? They're going to make sure that they take a haircut and they look all good before the week starts, says the Gemara, Hachanami, the same is true regarding Chol HaMoed. Because we want a person to look his best on Yontif, so Kadesh lo yichnas uleregel k'shem inuval, a person's going to know that he's not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. So what's he going to do? He's going to make sure that before Yontif, he's going to cut his hair the way he has to. And it's for that reason, says the Gemara, it's aser for a person, lesaper, and really the chabes as well, both of the halachas in the Mishnah, the iser giluach and the iser kibbutz, they're both related to the same thing. It's kadesh lo yichnasu l'regel k'shehen minu volim. Boy, Rab Zeir. Rab Zeir asked the shayla of the loy aveda erev regel. What happens if a person lost an aveda erev regel and he was busy the whole erev yontiv trying to find this aveda, he's trying to find this thing that he lost? Ma'u, what's the halacha? So he was an oinus, meaning ordinarily he would have cut his hair, he would have shaved erev yontiv. But erev yontiv, he was so busy trying to find this lost object that he had no time. He never got around to doing what he really wanted to do. Could he now cut his hair on Chol HaMoed? Or could he not cut his hair on Chol HaMoed? What would be the tzad that he should be able to? Kivin the honest mutter. He's an oinus. What's pshat in all the ve'ilu megalchem in the Mishnah? Ha'pomim din esayam, uvi beis ha'shivya, ha'yoytzim i beis ha'surim, v'ha'menudah shittiru le'chachamim, v'chim ishe nishal l'chachem v'hutter, ha'nazir, v'ha'metzayru. Same is true for the ve'ilu mechapsin. These are all people that are oinus. And because they're oinus, they had no way of taking care of business before Yontif. So therefore, on Moed itself, we're going to allow them to do it. So if that's the case, someone that was of the le'aveda, he was also an oinus, so maybe you'd be mutter. Maybe kivin le'im muchacham milsalai. Maybe an oinus, which is muchacha milsa. Meaning, if somebody arrived in Medina Sayyam Chol HaMoed, so back in the day, you live in a small village, everyone knows this person just showed up. So it's muchacha milsa, because it's muchacha milsa. He was a nazir. It was pretty obvious that he was a Nazir. Just look at him. Now, all of a sudden, on Chol HaMoed, he's not a Nazir anymore. So it's Muchach HaMilsa, why it is he shaving? Meaning the fact that this person shaving is not going to be perceived as if he's doing something wrong. There's no Marisayan issue. The reason he's shaving is because he was an Einus beforehand. You have to look good on Yontif. He couldn't shave before Yontif. So therefore, we're allowing him to do it now. So if that's the case, then if you needed to be Muchach HaMilsa, so if a person lost an Aveda, nobody knows that his neighbor lost an Aveda, he's going to walk in. The first day is Yontif, he's going to look a little bit unkempt. Then a Chol HaMoed, all of a sudden, he's going to look very good. No one's aware of any oinus that happened. And as a result, people are going to assume that he did something wrong. So that was Reb Zeira Shaila. On the one hand, it was an oinus. But then again, this oinus is not Muchach HaMilsa. That was his Chakira. Zokti Gemara, Amr Abaya. Sabai said it's Pashat. Reb Zeira, I don't even hear the Shaila. You know why? Because if you're going to say that somebody lost an Aveda, it's lad a shame on Chol HaMoed Yomer. You know what people are going to say? Kol HaSorikin Asurin and Srike Baisis Mutarin. So what's this concept? This halacha is a Gemara Masechtas Pesachim Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara over there is discussing someone that's making matzah. And the halacha is that you're not allowed to make any srikin on your matzah. It's not allowed to be a picture, a form of something that's going to be on your matzah. The reason is because if you're going to make this picture, it's going to take a little bit longer to make it. In the meantime, the dough may rise, it's going to leaven, and it's going to end up being chametz. So therefore, it's also. So the Gemara says that there were people, the srike baisos, these people were professionals, they knew how to do this really, really quickly. And they wanted to know, they asked Abaye, can we do this on, when we're preparing our matzahs, can we not do it or could we not do it? Abaye said, I'll tell you the truth. You yourself should be able to do it, because the reason the Chazal said it's a problem doesn't apply to you. But Yoimer, you know what people are going to say? Kol ha-srikin asurim and srike baisis mutarim. All the srikim aras and yours, srikim are mutar. It doesn't work that way. You can't implement halachas if you want these halachas to work and to stick. If you're going to tell me this family, for whatever reason, is excluded from this halacha. So Abai told Reb Zeira, it's the same exact thing. Yoimru, people are going to say, Kol ha-srikin asurim, srike baisis mutarim. Every person's not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, but this person that lost his aveda is. Once you do that, you're going down a slippery slope where you're going to go tumbling down. There's no way in the world this is going to end up working. And it's for that reason it's going to be us. But the Gemara says, Litamech, according to you, Hadam Rav Asi, Yom Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Asi said, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Mishain Liyel Chol Kechad. A person that has only one shirt, you're not allowed to do laundry, right? The Mishnah said, Fe'ilom Mechabsim Liyel. Ordinary, you're not allowed. But if somebody has one shirt, he's allowed to wash in a Chol HaMoed. Hasam Nami. So says the Gemara, why don't you say the same thing? Yoimru, people are going to say, Kol HaSrikin Asurim, Srike Baises Mutarim. They're going to say all the Srikim are Asur, but the Srikim are Baises on Mutar. So Mar says, Idmar Allah, Mar Rav Ashi, Ezure Mechiachal. No, we already, Mar Rav Ashi already explained that. It's not a good tushdal over there. The reason is because Ezure Mechiachal, a person only has one beged, when he washes his beged, you're going to know that he only has one beged. Right? If you have one beged, how are you going to wash the beged? So what you're going to do is you're going to put your coat on and you're going to have to put your gartel in a way where it's going to be obvious that you only have one beged. So the truth is that having only one beged is something that people know about. And as a result, it is Muchach HaMilsa, and there's no chashash, Yoimur Kol HaSrikin Asurim Srikei Vaisas Muntarim. However, when it comes to a person who punked happened to have lost an Aveda, that's not something that people know about, and therefore that's going to be an issue. Zokti Gemara, Rav Ashi Masri, Rav Ashi had a different version of Rav Zeira Shaila. So the first version of Rav Zeira Shaila was what? Zera wanted to know, what happens if a person had a personal oinus? His own personal oinus. His example was he lost an aved. Whatever. He had a personal oinus on Erev Yontif, and because he had a personal oinus on Erev Yontif, he couldn't cut his hair. Couldn't take a haircut, couldn't trim his beard, he couldn't shave, he couldn't cut his hair. Now, it's Chol HaMoed, he wants to. The Mishnah says, Ve'ilu Magal Chol HaMoed, people that were anusim. But the anusim of the Mishnah were anusim that were Muchach HaMilsa. This person was like Muchach HaMilsa, that was his Chakira, and the Gemara said, Abaye told him, emphatically, Aser. Absolutely not. Why? Because Yoimru, Kol HaSrikin Asurim, and Srike Baisis Mutarim, doesn't work. The Gemara said, Rav Ashi had a different version of what Rav Zeira Shaila was. Rav Zeira knew the answer to that question. And that's why he never even asked it. What Reb Zeira Shaila was in the first version is Nitkan Shaila in the second version. Okay, what was Reb Zeira Shaila then? Umin Sha'avdalei Aveda Erev HaRegel. What would be if one of the professionals in town, he lost his Aveda Erev HaRegel? For example, the barber in town that everybody flocks to on Erev Yontif. What would be if he himself lost an Aveda? Over here, it is already Muchach HaMilsa. Now, even the woman who Muchach HaMilsa, do you say that it is Muchach HaMilsa? Because if you're going to show up to the barber, Erev Yontif, trying to take a haircut, and he's not there, you can achap that something must have happened. So you're going to know that he was dealing with something. So now if he takes a haircut on Chol HaMoed, it's going to be, oh, Muchach HaMilsa, I achap that he couldn't do it Erev Yontif, because I remember, tak, I went to take a haircut, and he wasn't around. I mean, this Gemara has the small town vibe. Oy Dilma, or keep it like Muchach HaMilsa, Kiyanach Loi, Reb Zeira had another side. He said, As much as it's Mucha Milsa, but it's not Mamish Mucha Milsa. So it's not like Habomim Dinas Hayam. It's not like someone who completed his Naziris on Chol HaMoed. So being that it's not Mamish on that same level, maybe it's not. And the Gemara says, Teiku, this Shaila, we don't have a Pshitas to. This, we have to wait for Al Yoa Novi, Al Yoa Tishbi. This says the Gemara is Teiku. So the Mishnah said, Haba Nimedina Sayam. So again, the Eilu Megalech HaMoed. And what was the first example of someone that's allowed to be Megalech HaMoed? Haba Nimedina Sayam. Somebody was overseas and he arrived into town on Chol HaMoed. He was on a boat for the last 3 weeks. He had no way of cutting his hair. So now he just showed up. Says the Mishnah, he's an oynes. It's muchach hamilsa kulei hai. This person is allowed to cut his hair. So the Gemara Masis is like Rabbi Yehuda. This Mishnah is not like Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya learned to the Brisa. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said, Habom Medina Sayam lo yigaleach. Rabbi Yehuda said that if someone's Bom Medina Sayam, he's actually not allowed to cut his hair. Mipnei sheyotza shaloy b'shos. Because he went shaloy b'shos. Now, just to be clear, when we say he was yotze shaloy b'shos, doesn't mean he did something wrong. But the point is, he wasn't involved in a dvar mitzvah. So if a person left, and he was involved in doing something that's of a noble stature, so then not a chinami. But stam a guy went, that's not the case. In fact, Rava, as we're about to see, qualified Rabbi Yehuda's halacha, and really qualified the machloikis between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. So again, the Mishnah says, Ve'ilu magalcha memoed habom medina sayam. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, that habom medina sayam lo yigaleach, b'pnei sheyotzot sheloi b'shus. And that, Omar Rava, loshut divya kol aser. Everybody agrees, if a person went on a vacation, he went on a cruise, and he came back from medina sayam, when? On Chol HaMoed, sorry, you can't shave. What do you mean? I was away. I understand, but you went loshut. That doesn't count. Limizoinos, if the person went overseas, Pashat for Parnasa. So sometimes a person has to go Me'ever Layam for Parnasa to be called Mutter. Of course it's going to be Mutter. No, Nachalku with the Machloikis, it was Elul Laharvicha. He didn't go on a cruise, but he also didn't go for Parnasa. He went Laharvicha. He went to be an Oisha. He went to be a Gvir, right? Just because he's going for money doesn't necessarily make it Parnasa. Parnasa is where a person Pasha needs it for Parnasa. But if this person went Laharvicha, he went to make a lot of money, so that wouldn't be considered Harvach. And that was the Shaila. Ma'ar Madami Lekalasha. Rabbi Yehuda said that if somebody goes Laharvacha, it's as if he went Lashut. And therefore what? Lo yigalech, umar, the chachamim is medamig lekelim mezoinus. No, at the end of the day, you're going for money, you're going to get make the money, and you're going to do a lot of mitzvahs with it, so that's more similar to mezoinus, and because it's more similar to mezoinus, so that already is going to count. Says the Gemara, Meisve, last you a kashas. Again, we just clarified that the machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and the chachamim is specifically when he went leharvacha. He went to earn profits. I mean, if he goes lemezoinus, everybody agrees that he has a din of anoinus, and he's from the Be'elam Agalchen. If he goes lashut, everybody agrees he doesn't have a din of anoinus, and for sure, he won't be able to. The shaila was if he goes leharvacha. So, Freyde Gemara, Akasha, Omar Rebbe. Rebbe said, Nirin Divi Rabbi Yehuda k'shiyatz shaloi b'shus. I prefer Rabbi Yehuda shita when he went shaloi b'shus, meaning over there he doesn't have a din that he could be megalech. But if he chacham and shiyatz b'shus, and I hold like the chacham, and when he went b'shus, then he would be able to be megalech. So this is Rebbe, like he just did a few dafin ago, like Rebbe does often in Shas, where he was machriya. Rebbe sometimes was the great arbitrator. He was machriya. Nirin Divi Rabbi Yehuda here, to Nirin Divi chachamim over here. So say Rebbe over here, I like Rabbi Yehuda shita. Nirin, I Sigafelt Mechshitas Rabbi Yehuda if he went Shaloi Bishos, V'divri Chachamim if he went Bishos. So the Gemara says, my Shaloi Bishos. Let's define these terms. What does he mean, Rabbi, when he says, I like Rabbi Yehuda Shita when he went Shaloi Bishos? Ilei Mel Lashut. Does he mean he went Lashut? What do you mean? Rabbi said, I like Rabbi Yehuda Shita when he went Lashut. Didn't Rava just say a moment ago that everybody agrees if he goes Lashut that he's not Rabbi Megalech? El Lemazoinus. Maybe it means when he went Lemazoinus. No, you said that if he goes Lemazoinus, that's not even Shaloi B'shus. If he goes Lemazoinus, everybody agrees that he could be Megalech. Elo Pshita Larvicha, must be Larvicha. Oh, very good. So what did Rabbi mean when he says, Nir and Divi Rabbi Yehuda Shaloi B'shus? I hold like Rabbi Yehuda when he went Laharvacha. When he went, not for Tishpatzir, not on a Tiyu. He also didn't go to make Parnosa, he went to become wealthy. So if that's the reason that he went, so I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, Nir and Divri Rabbi Yehuda Kshayatza Lei B'shos. But the problem is, Ema Seifa says, look at the Seifa. Nir and Divri Chacham Kshayatza B'shos. Rabbi said, I hold like the Chacham if he went B'shos. My B'shos. What does B'shos mean? Lei B'shos Lemezoinus. Doesn't mean he went Lemezoinus. Ha'amit V'yakal Mutter. He said, everybody holds it. It's Mutter. So what do you mean? Nir and Divri Chacham. Even Rabbi Yehuda agrees. Elo Laharvicha. Elo Laharvicha. It means Laharvicha. I'm Nir and Divri Rabbi Yehuda. But you just said that he holds like Rabbi Yehuda Baha. So we have a stira. Meaning, if Shaloi B'shos means Laharvicha, and B'shos means Laharvicha, which based on what Rava said, I don't know what else it can mean, Because that's the only case where there was ever a machloikas, Rabbi Yudin l'chachamim, so we have a steer in Rebbe. Nir and Divi Rabbi Yehuda when he went l'arvicha, v'nir and Divi chachamim when he went l'arvicha, so the Gemara says, no, hachi kamer. You have to say that this is what Rabbi really meant to say. Nir and Divi Rabbi Yehuda l'rabbanon k'shiyotza l'ebishos. What Rabbi was saying was, I hold like Rabbi Yehuda's shita when the person went shalebishos. Umay niu, what does it mean shalebishos? Loshet. And you know why Rabbi said, I like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Shafil Chacham Leinech Gualo? Because nobody argues. Because even the Chachamim agreed that if he goes Lashut, the halacha is, it's considered that he really had no right to go, and as a result, he wouldn't be able to be Megaleh. Elo, Leinech, might. And I hold like the Rabban and Shita, Klafi Rabbi Yehuda, Kshiyatza Bershos. Because even Rabbi Yehuda didn't argue, Elo Arvicho, when it comes to Mezoinus, he's going to be a Moidel. In other words, what the Gemara just said is Poshet, Amar Rabbi, Nir and Rabbi Yehuda, Kshiyatza Shloi Bershos, Vidiri Chacham and Kshiyatza Bershos, sounds like Rabbi's being Machri and Halach. This is Machlaikas Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Could he be Megaleach or could he not be Megaleach? And Rebbe's coming to be Machriya, Allah Lamaisa. I hold like Rabbi Yehuda in this case, Shaloi Bershos. I hold like Rebbe in this case, Bershos. Meaning, this Machloik is Shaloi Bershos, this Machloik is Bershos. But I'm Machriya. I hold like Rabbi Yehuda, not like the Chacham and Shaloi Bershos. And I hold like the Chacham and not like Rabbi Yehuda when it was Yatzah Bershos. But what the Gemara said is that's really not what happened because there's no way to make that work. But rather, what Rebbe was saying was there was never a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim Shalei B'shos. There was also never a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim when it was B'shos. There was never a machloikis when it was Shalei B'shos. What's the definition of Shalei B'shos? Shalei B'shos means Loshet. There was no machloikis. Everybody agrees he can't be Megalech. There was never a machloikis when he went B'shos. What's the definition of B'shos when he went L'mezoinus? Because everybody agrees that he could be Megalech. When was the machloikis? If it's not Shalei B'shos, Loshet, it's not B'shos Mezoinus, when is it? It's Laharicha. But essentially, what was Rabbi saying? In other words, he was saying what Rava said. That's really what Rabbi was saying. Rav has qualified the machloikas of Yehuda and the Chachamim, and he said they're not arguing lashut, they're not arguing by mezoinus, they're arguing la'arvicha. That's what Rabbi said. Nir and divi Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Not because I'm a chriya like Rabbi Yehuda, because the Chachamim didn't argue with Rabbi Yehuda when it's lashut. Nir and divi Chachamim birishus. Not because I'm being machriya like the Chachamim. No, because there was never a machloikas over there. Because by mezoinus, everybody holds that you could be megalech. When is the machloikis? Rebbe didn't even get involved in that. We know what it is. It's laharvicha. So Rebbe's not a steerer to Rava. To the contrary, Rebbe's actually saying exactly what Rava said. Amashmul, another halacha. Katan hanoylu demayit. A child, a baby, that's born on chalomayit, mutalagam leach memayit. Halacha is you're allowed to cut the hair of this baby on chalomayit. So in the event, for whatever reason, the parent feels that you want to cut the hair, so you let it cut in a chalamai. Why? So Shmuel said, Gishmak, she'ein lucha beis ha'asurim gadol mizeh. Because this child was just in a beis ha'asurim for the last 9 months, and now the baby was born, ein lucha beis ha'asurim gadol mizeh, and it's for that reason, says Shmuel, you're allowed to cut the hair of a baby on chalamai. Meaning, ve'ein l'magalchem b'mayud, one of the examples was, v'hayoytzim yibeis ha'asurim. So a cut in that noilet is a yoytzim yibeis ha'asurim, and if it's for that reason, it's going to be okay. But the Gemara makes sindiyah. The Gemara says, b'mayud in, it sounds like the only time that you're allowed to cut the hair of a baby is if the baby was actually born on Yontif. But if the baby was born before Yontif, it would be aser. Why? It's no different than a regular person. A person you could have shaven before Yontif who asked you to wait until Yontif. So therefore, now you're done. You're not allowed to. A baby's the same thing. If the baby was born on Yontif, okay, so he's literally Yotzim Beis Asurim on Yontif. It's for that reason. However, in the event that the baby was born before Yontif, you could have done it before Yontif, so you're not going to have this halacha. Must Rav Pinchas. Rav Pinchas asked the kasha. The Bryce says, call Elu Sha'amru. Bryce is referring to our Mishnah. So the Mishnah says, all these people that are Megalchin b'mayit. So says the Braisa, all these people that are mutalagalech b'mayit, mutalagalech b'may eflay. These people are allowed to be megaleach during Avelos as well. So all the ve'elu megalchin b'mayit are mutalagalech b'eflay. An oval is not allowed to cut his hair. Now, Avelos means different things depending on what halacha is being learned. As it relates to here, it's shloishim. So for 30 days, an oval is not allowed to cut his hair. Stating that, just like the Mishnah says ve'elu megalchin b'mayit, so too there's also a ve'elu megalchin as it relates to Avelos says, well, so says the Gemara, it sounds like, right? A pretty elementary dick. Whoever is mutal galeach b'mayit is mutal galeach b'mayavla. make the diyuk. If someone's asa legaleach b'mayin, it would mean it's asa legaleach b'mayin. What's the kash of I'm a katan ispe plukta. Now, if you're going to tell me that a katan falls into this halacha, plukta usually means machloikis. Here, plukta means chiluk. Meaning, if you're going to tell me there's a chiluk by a katan, depending on whether he was born on yontif or whether he was born on before yontif, but you're telling me that if a katan was born before yontif, that means he's not allowed to be Megaleach Amoyed. So if he's not allowed to be Megaleach Amoyed, so too he wouldn't be able to be Megaleach B'Shas Avelis as well. So if this child is an Avel, then the child wouldn't be able to cut his hair B'Mei Avelis. Because we're saying that whatever our Mishnah says regarding Moyed is true for Avelis as well. So if you're telling me that the Mishnah is talking about Katan, and a Katan sometimes is not allowed to cut his hair on Moyed, for example, if the cotton was born before Mayid, can't cut his hair on Mayid, is included in the Isser of Giluach on Mayid, so too the cotton would be included in the Isser of Giluach Bimei Avelos. And if that's the case, Nintzis Avelos Nehegas B'Katan, it comes out this Avelos by cotton. Tanya, we learn to the Rice, we carry the cotton with Nehagmas Nefesh. We rice Kriya, Rachmana Litzlan, for a cotton. Not because the cotton's chayv in Avelos, not because of Chinuch, there's no Chinuch when it comes to Avelos. But the reason we rice Kriya for a cotton is to make everybody else feel so sad. That vision, the sight of seeing the cotton rice kriya is such a sad sight that it causes everybody to be so bitzad. But the point is, you see, there's no avail. So, Nachma, what's the kasha? If you're going to tell me that a cotton is not allowed to cut his hair b'mayed, in the event that he was born before yontif, such a come out, he wouldn't be able to cut his hair b'mayed. Avelos either. How do we know that? Because there's a brayse. The brayse says that all the halach is a moed on a gay avelos. So that would mean that there's avelos by cotton. We know there's no avelos by cotton. Only kriya mipnei agmas nefesh. But otherwise not. I'm Ravashi. Ravashi says, no. We're taking the diak too far. Mik tani ha asurim, dilma yesh men asiv yesh men mutter. What did the brayse say? Kol elu sha'amru mutter galech b'moed mutter galech b'mei avla. That's a fact. If someone's allowed to be megalech, if someone falls into the exception of the rule where he's allowed to be megalech, b'mei Moyet, so too, if he had the same exact situation in the context of an Avelos, the halach is he'd be able to do the same exact thing. He'd be able to cut his hair as well. Does that mean that every single person that's not allowed to cut his hair on Moyet is not allowed to cut his hair on May Avelos? I don't know. A katan has to conform with the laws of Moyet. A katan doesn't have to conform with the laws of Avelos. Just because someone has Dine Moyet doesn't mean he has Dine Avelos. The halacha of the Taisefta is true across the board. The diyuk that we're inferring from the Taisefta is lav dafka true across the board. And that's what the Gemara is saying. It says the Gemara, Neymar v'item Rav Shisha b'edi Ravidi mas nahachi. They had a different version of what Shmuel said. Amra Shmuel, kata mut legalcha b'mayit. A kata in Latin be megalech b'mayit. Loishna noilad b'mayit. V'loishna noilad mekar. It doesn't matter if he was born on mayit. It doesn't matter if he was born before mayit. Either way, the halacha is you're allowed to be megalech. The katan amay. This is the opposite of what Shmuel said in the first version. In the first version, what did Shmuel say? The only time you're allowed to be megalech a katan is if the katan was born on mayit. If he was born before mayit, you're not allowed to. Here Shmuel said just the opposite. A katan you're allowed to be megalech on mayit, even if he was born before mayit. I'm Rav Pinchas. So in the first version, Rav Pinchas asked the kasha from a braisa. Rav Pinchas is going to quote the same braisa. He's not going to ask a kasha. Now it's going to be a rai. Afanan amitunin av a rai. Kol elu shomer mutal galech b'mayit. All the people that are elu megalchem b'mayit mutal galech b'mayit avel ladder cut their hair b'mayit avelos as well. Ha asur legalech b'mayit. It's mashed with if someone's not allowed to be megalech b'mayit asur legalech b'mayit avel. He wouldn't be able to be megalech b'mayit avel as well. Now I am a cotton aser bishlam. If you're going to tell me that a cotton is aser nimtzas. Now, if you're going to tell me, not Bishlam, Iamrid Katan Aser, Nimtzis Avelos Nehagas B'Katan, it's going to come out that a Katan has Avelos. V'tanya Mekaron L'Katan Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. We know he doesn't have Avelos. Only Kriya Mipnei Agmas Nefesh. But ordinarily, he doesn't. Elamai must be that really a Katan is always Mutal Galeach. So therefore, you can never make the Diyek to prove to me that he's shaykh to the laws of Avelos. Rav Ashi said it's not a rai. Just like it wasn't a kasha in the first version, it's not a rai in the second version. Because mik tani ha asurin duma yesh men asav yesh men mutter. Who said you can go so far with the diyek? The point of the braisa was that anyone that's allowed to be megalech b'moyed is also allowed to be megalech b'mei evloy. Does that mean that someone that's not allowed to be megalech b'moyed cannot be megalech b'mei evloy? Lav dafka. So therefore, what a cotton status is as it relates to being megaleach, or sometimes it being also to be megaleach amayim, wouldn't prove anything as it relates to whether a cotton is subject to the laws of avelos. Zok de gemara weiter. Avel einoy noyeg avelusoy beregel. An avel, everyone knows this halacha, is not noyeg avelos on yontif. How do we know that? Shenema. The pasuk says v'samachta bechagech. It says v'samachta bechagech, which means it's a mitzvah to be besimcha on yontif. So the gemara says like this: there's a mitzvah to be ba'avelos. If a person is in a matziv, where it's warranted. This is a mitzvah for a person to be besimcha yantiv. They're both mitzvahs. So really the question of yeah, avelos and yantiv, not avelos and yantiv, it comes down to which mitzvah takes precedent. Is it the mitzvah of avelos, or is it the mitzvah of yantiv? So the Gemara makes a pashta cheshbon. Says the Gemara, avelos to make karuhu. If the person was first the avel, and then he yantiv came about, so someone became an avel before yantiv, asi asay the rabbim, v'dasi asay the yachid. It's true, he has an asay of avelos, but asay of avelos is an asay the yachid. It's his own personal individual asay. Simchas Yantif is an Asay de Rabban. The whole Klai Yisrael is being besimcha. So the Asay de Rabban would be doich and Asay de Yach. The Avelos to Hashtahu. And if the Avelos is something that just happened, meaning on Yantif, the person became an Avel, they also Asay de Yach, but doich Asay de Rabban. So it's partially because an Asay de Yach wouldn't have the ability to be doich and Asay de Rabban. In other words, what the Gemara just said in a fancy way is that Avelos is an Asay, and Simchas Yantif is an Asay. Avelos is an Asay de Yach, that's very individual. A person happens to punk biba avelos. It's his individual, his family's Indian. Yontif is an asay de rabim. Asay de rabim is doich asay de yachir. And that's what the Gemara says. It doesn't matter which one came first. If first yontif came, that's easy. How's the asay de yachir of avelos going to knock out the asay de rabim that was already chal? And even if it happened in the reverse order, with first the avelos came, but the asay de rabim of yontif is going to come, it's going to push it away. Now, we're not going to talk about this today, but the top toisvus on the yomid is a shas toisvus. Toisvus says, then why did the Gemara say more pasha? Why did the Gemara say, Yontif is an Asay Dei Raisa? V'samachta v'chagach is a pasuk in the Torah. It's a mitzvah Asay Dei Raisa. Avelos is an Asay Dei Rabbana. Doesn't say in the Torah anywhere Avelos. So Frank Toisvis, why did the Gemara say Asay Dei Rabbim Zdoich Asay Dei Yachid? Say more pashut. Say that Asay Dei Raisa of Simchas Yontif is Doich the Asay Dei Rabbana of Avelos. And Toisvis has two terutzim, and they're both very important. Toisvis' first terutz is that maybe the Gemara holds that Avelos is not a mitzvah de Rabbanon. Avelos is really a mitzvah deiraisa. That's what Taisus says. Maybe Avelos is a mitzvah deiraisa. So it comes out both mitzvahs are mitzvahs deiraisa. Avelos is a mitzvah deiraisa. Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah deiraisa. Avelos is a mitzvah deiraisa de Yochid. Simchas Yontif is a mitzvah deiraisa de Rabbin. And that's why I say the Rabbin is Yochid, I say the Yochid. But at the end of the day, it says Taisus. Maybe they're both Aseis deiraisa. And they're both Aseis deiraisa. That's Pshat. Inami Taisus says. And Miu Nirali, Taisus, I actually prefer this Pshat. And that is that why you assuming that Simchas Yontif, Bizman Hazeh, is a mitzvah deiraisa? Once upon a time, there was a carbon shlamim. It was called the Shalmei Simcha, the one that was burned on Yontif. And the reason it was called the Shalmei Simcha is because that's the way you're supposed to be mekayim your mitzvah, Asay deiraisa, v'samachta v'chagecha. But Bizman Hazeh, we don't have anymore a Shalmei Simcha. And because we don't have a Shalmei Simcha, even though there's a mitzvah to be besimcha, ain't simcha l'b'yayin, noshim b'mayim mesamchon, but these things are all derabanan. So it comes out, it's true, Avelos is a derabanan. But Simchas Yontif is also a derabanan. So the Gemara said that why is Regel doich Avelos? Because Regel's an Asay derabim, and Avelos is an Asay deyachim. Frey Tois would say better. Regel's an Asay deyraisa, and Avelos is an Asay derabanan. So Tois, you have to say one of two things. Either they're both deyraisa, or they're both derabanan. If they're both deyraisa, it's a chiddush in Avelos. Even Avelos is a deyraisa. If they're both derabanan, it's a chiddush in Simchas Yontif. That Simchas Yontif is right. How could Simchas Yontif be derabanan? It's psukim in the Torah. V'samachti b'chagechu, smachti b'fnei Hashem, l'kechem shiddus yomim. V'yisach samech. There's many psukim in the Torah that say you have to be besimchos. Like Torah, of course. B'zman shebeis hamikdash ha'yikayim. A lot of mitzvahs we don't have today because there's no beis hamikdash. One of the mitzvahs we don't have today, says Tosfos, is we don't have the mitzvah of Simchas Yontif. The Rambam famously argues, the Rambam holds there is a mitzvah of Simchas Yontif mideirais, and it goes down as machlokes between the Rambam and the Balei Tosfos, where the Simchas Yontif is man hazeh, is a mitzvah deiraisa, it's a mitzvah de rabbanon. We don't have time for that now. So, the Gemara, one more Gemara. Menuda maushi yinuk niduyoi berega. If someone is in cherem, is he noyig his state of cherem on Yontif or not? So the sugis of Cherim are me'inyan le'inyan ba'isa inyan to the sugis of Avelos, and we're going to learn them b'meshech, the third parak of Masechtas Ma'akan. But for now, we just said that an Avel is not noyig Avelos on Yontif. So the question is, what is someone that's in Nidui, he's in some form of excommunication? Does he have to be noyig those dinim on Yontif? And I'm Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef, say, Toshma. I'll bring you a right. Donim dine nefashis, v'dine makis, v'dine moment. It's a Mishnah later in the parak. We're, it's a Pesach actually. We're allowed to paskin dine nefashis, we can paskin dine makis, and dine momentis, all on cholomoyd. So the Gemara says like this. Now, for Evoit Zayas Dina, what happens if Bezdin paskins something about a certain person, and then the person doesn't listen? Right, he's not gairus. He doesn't care what Bezin says. So what do we do to him? Shamtinale. We put him in chayv. Now, if you're going to tell me that the laws of nidui are not noyig on yantiv, if the person was in chayv before yantiv, asni regal dachile, yantiv would not get out. Hashtem shamtinale anan. Does it make sense for us to go put him in chayv now? Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told him, I don't know if you have a raya. Meaning, you're telling me from the fact that we could pass kindin and fashas dinim makas dinim amenis, that's a raya. We would also be able to put him in chayv. See, it's a raya that chayv is noyig on yantiv. Abaya said, Duma, maybe all that tesefta means is maybe it doesn't mean we actually paskin the shiloh. Maybe all it means is that we're just ma'ayin. Bezdin can convene, they can get together, they can learn the sugyas, but maybe they taka don't paskin. And if they don't paskin, you have no raya that they would ever put someone in chayrim. So you have no raya that chayrim is noyeg on yontif. And then Abaye said, I'll even prove it. Because Dilay Tema, if you're going to tell me that's not the case, dine nefashas tiktani. Hachi nami tekaplinele? We mentioned dine nefashas. Would we kill somebody on yontif? Can't be. Why? Why not? It's a pasha, you would think, what do you mean? You're going to kill somebody on yontif? The person deserves to enjoy a yontif. That's not what the Gemara says. Fakamimni misimchas yontif. The dayanim are going to lose out on simchas yontif. The tanya we learned to the rights of Kiva Emir Kiva 79. Let's Sanhedrin shargus hanefesh ain't time in kolei seayoyim. How do you know that a bezdin, a Sanhedrin that has to paskin someone is chayim misa, that now that they have to fast that whole day? Talmud loyma loysoichlu al adam. So you see that you have to fast the day that you paskin dina nefashas. So it's impossible to paskin dina nefashas on yontif on cholamoy. Because if you're going to paskin dina nefashas on cholamoy, you're going to have to fast. You're not allowed to fast. Elas Abaye. So what does it mean when it says in the Tesefta dom and dina nefashas liyuni bedina? It just means they probably get together and they handle the shiloh. No, if that's the case, alchinami. So to hear liyuni bedina, maybe all it means is liyuni bedina amale. So Rav Yosef told Abaye that imkain. But if that's the case, you're telling me that they would get together to handle dinei nefashas, but they wouldn't actually paskin the dinei nefashas. Nimtza ma'anez dinoi. It's going to come out that you're going to be ma'anez dinoi, right? That's not gishmak. That's not something you can do. Elos. You know what it probably means? Is the asu mitzafra. They would come in the morning, u'ma'ayna b'dinei, v'ayli, and then they would come to a conclusion, v'achli v'shasu, kula yoyma, and then they would eat. They would do the Gemara Din at night, the Kotle, and they would kill him. So Rabbi Yosef said that it's time to go and be Ma'ayin in someone's din and not paskin the Shaila. That's cool and unusual. It's what's known as Inuy Adin. That's not something you're not allowed to do. That's not something you're allowed to do anyways. So I don't think that's what happened over here. You can ask me, Akasha, how were they able to paskin din and nefashas? Aren't they going to have to fast? No, they'll handle the din and nefashas in the morning, and they'll fast in the morning, and then in the afternoon, they'll have their Ein Simcha L'Bayayin. Or ain't to the chal of a boss of a yayin, they'll be able to fulfill the mitzvah a little bit later. Who said it's a stira? So Rabbi Yosef told Abaya that you want to tell me afan anami toninu, you have a raya from this brisa to your pshat, you have no raya. So again, we have no raya, we have no kasha, what we have is the shaila. What's the shaila? Menuda maushi yinug niduyev beregel. Is someone that's in chayrim, is he allowed to be noyig his chayrim on yontif, or is he not allowed to be noyig his chayrim on yontif? The first attempt, the first toshma that we had was from a brisa that says that Bezdin can paskin shailas on yontif. If Bezdin can paskin shailas on yontif, it means they have the ability to put somebody in chayrim on yontif. Because that's an inevitable result sometimes of paskining. You're passing a shayla, the person doesn't listen. The next move is Bezdin puts him into chayr. So you see clearly, it's obvious that if you can pass in the shayla, you have to be able to put him in chayr. What's the dichli? Why is this not a great raya? Because maybe when it says that Bezdin would come together, it doesn't mean they would actually paskin. Maybe it just means li yuni bedino. It means there'd be ma'ayin and din. So Amar Abaye said, that's not a raya, but this is a raya. Toshma u'menuda shetiru lechacham. The Mishnah mentioned the ilu megalchem amoyed, and one of the megalchem amoyed was a menuda shetiru lechacham. What does it sound like? It sounds like someone was in Nidui, and this person became Mutter. Meaning, all of a sudden now, this person is allowed to be Noyig, and he doesn't have to worry about being in a state of Nidui anymore. What do you see? You see, Pashit. That someone that's in Chayrim doesn't have to be Noyig, is Dinei Chayrim on Yantav. Okay, the Mishnah mentioned Elam Galchim Moyin. One of them was someone that was in Chayrim. Shehetiru Loi Chacham. What does it sound like? It sounds like this person was in Chayrim up until Yantav. Therefore, he couldn't shave. Now, it's yontif. Oh, yontif. There's no problem anymore. But the issue is, it's only yontif once it's yontif. And he only is allowed to shave once it's yontif. So therefore, this person is allowed to shave on cholamoy because he couldn't shave before yontif. Because before Yontif, he was in Nidoy. But once Yontif came, that knocked it out, which meant that on Chol HaMoed, that's when he'd be able to shave. But Abaye said it's beforeish. Umenuda shetiru lechachamim. You see that every single Yontif knocks out Nidoy. Amar Rava, Rava said, no, miktani shetiru chachamim. Shetiru lechachamim ktani. The Azulu, Abaye said, the Baldin, the Baldin, the Rabbanu, Basharla. Rava told Abaye, I don't think that's what the Mishnah means. You're teaching the Mishnah that what the Mishnah means is that somebody that's in Cherim and then Yontif comes, so the Yontif knocks out. The Yontif knocks out the Cherim. The Yontif is not what knocked out the Cherim. When the Mishnah says menuda sheitiru lechachamim, it means punk this person on an individual basis. His nidoy ended on yontif, and because his nidoy ended on yontif, so it's for that reason this person is now allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. But you want to know in a more general sense, does this mean that every single person that's ever in cherim is when it comes yontif, the whole cherim gets knocked out? Says the Gemara, it certainly does not mean that. Exhale. There's a tshuva from the Noida B'Yehuda. This tshuva is in Eirach Chaim, Madura Kama. It's Simen Yud Gimel. And believe it or not, this tshuva is in the conversation as maybe being the most famous tshuva in Gantz Shailos of Tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda. So if you go through Madura Kama, Madura Tinyana, all the many, many hundreds of tshuvas in Shailos of Tshuvas Noida B'Yehuda, this is maybe the most famous tshuva that the Noida B'Yehuda ever wrote. So the Noida B'Yehuda wrote a tshuva about shaving on Chol HaMoed. But before the tshuva, we have to have a little bit of background information. And that is, the Torah, in the beginning of Simen Tov Kuf Lamed Aleph, so he brings the halacha of Ein Megalchem HaMoed. V'atam shlo yikonis l'moed k'shu menuvel. The reason is because we don't want a person to enter Chol HaMoed looking menuvel. We don't want him to enter Yontif looking menuvel. It's like this, we tell a person that you should know that if you're not going to shave on if you're not going to shave before Yontif, you will not have the ability to shave on Chol HaMoed. This way, we're comfortable that this person is going to enter Yontif looking good. He's going to end up looking the way he's supposed to look. Says the Torah that Rabbeinu Tam said a very big finish. Rabbeinu Tam said that being that the reason a person is not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed is because we're afraid that if you're going to be allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed, you may not shave before Yontif, and you're going to end up entering Yontif looking menuvel. So said Rabbeinu Tam, what would be if a person did shave before Yontif? Let's say a person shaved on Erev Yontif. A person cut his hair on Erev Yontif. Said Rabbeinu Tam, it would be mutter for this person ligaleach b'mayit. This person would be allowed to cut his hair on Yontif, on Chol HaMoed. Says the Torah that Rabbeinu Tam said that the whole reason you're not allowed to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed is kadesh lo yikonis l'regel kishum menuvel. So zilbar sataymo. So if that's the reason, so then you can make a very basic judgment that that's only negayo person that really violates this idea, and he enters Yontif looking menuvel. This person is not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. But what would be a person that did shave on Erev Yontif? A person like that, says Rabbeinu Tam, it's poshut based on the Tam of the Gemara, the Svar of the Gemara, he would be allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. But says the Torah, v'kosham me'oid lahater. I find it very, very difficult to rely on this Rabbeinu Tam and to be mater. V'gam einoy nira came yitaycha Gemara. And he says, besides, it's not mashma that way from the Gemara. Why? Says the Torah, two reasons. Number one, dim isa, because if Rabbeinu Tam is right, we have a Mishnah that says Ve'ilam Agalchem Amoy, and we came up with all the far-fetched scenarios. We came from a Nazir to a Mitzayra to a Bob Medina Sayam, someone that was in captivity, who's Yoytzim Beis Asurim, a Menudish Etiru Leichachon Machlikz Abayi Verova. What that even means? We have all these far-fetched scenarios of where would be Negei at this halacha that someone is Mutal Galeich Biyantif. Like Rabbeinu Tam, Iker Chasim and Asay for the most obvious case, a person who took a shave on Erev Yontif. So Chol HaMoed, he'd be allowed to shave again. Because this person didn't enter Yontif Kishum Menuvel, and as a result, it would be Mutter. So Sok the Tor, it's not Mashma that way from the Gemara. From where? From the Mishnah. Literally, the opening line in Perek Ve'el Magalchen, it's not Mashma that way. And besides, says the Tor, that the Gemara had a Shiloh. What would be if somebody lost an Aveda? And he was busy, was an Oinus the whole Erev Yontif. Could he shave on Chol HaMoed or not? And what did the Gemara say? Amar Abaya. Abaya said, no way. You know why? Because Yoimru, people are going to say, Kol HaSrikin HaSurim and Srike Baises Mutarim. Nobody knows that this person lost an Aveda. And because nobody knows that this person lost an Aveda, even though he was a bona fide, legitimate Oynis, for Oynis Rachmana Patre in Kol HaTerekula, and definitely in the laws of Eilu Megalchen. That's the whole Mishnah, Eilu Megalchen. That if a person's an Oynis, it's Mutar. But it's only if it's Muchacha Milsa. If it's Loim Muchacha Milsa, then you don't have the exception. You don't have the heter of Oynis Rachmana. So says the Torah, if a person shaves on Erev Yontif, does anybody really know? No one's looking that closely. No one's paying that much attention. So now if this person is going to go ahead and he's going to be allowed to suddenly shave on Chol HaMoed, Yoimru, people are going to say, Kol HaSrikin HaSurim and Srike Baisis Mutarim. So says the Torah, push it from the simple reading of the Gemara, before we get into all the real kashas and the lumdas, but push it from reading the Gemara, the whole Gemara is not mashma, like Rabbeinu Tam. So says the Torah, Ve'enoi nira v'kashem ma'oilahatim. And the truth is, if you open up a Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Tov Kuf Lamed Aleph, there's not a lot of suspense. The Mechaber says, Sivkot Aleph, Mitzvah Legaleich Be'er Yontif. There's a Mitzvah Legaleich Be'er Yontif. What's the Makar? Our Gemara. You see, there's an idea. Kedei Shaloi Yikaneis, you shouldn't enter Yontif Kishum Anuvel, which implies there's a Mitzvah Legaleich Be'er Yontif. Halacha Beis, Ein Megalcha Memoid. You're not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Afilu Im Gilach Koidem Moed. And even if this person shaved, did what he was supposed to do, he was Mekayim, his mitzvah legalech, Be'er Yontif. It doesn't matter. Ein Megalcha Memoid, Afilu Im Gilach Memoid, Koidem Memoid. Why? Like the Torah said, because even though Rabbeinu Tam was Mater, but at the same time, Ein Noi Nira Klal, Shitas Rabbeinu Tam. And that's why the Torah and the Mechaber, and there's no Ramah on this, it's Pashit, in Shulchan Aruch, that a person is not allowed to cut his hair, he's not allowed to trim his beard, he's not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Why not? Because there's a halacha, Kidei Shelo Yikonsu, you shouldn't enter Regal, Kishehem in Uvarman, even though Rabbeinu Tam had a Svara, but like the Torah already dismissed Rabbeinu Tam, he said, Ve'inoi Nira, it's not Mashma Bechlal, like Rabbeinu Tam. Stating that, the Noid of Yehuda wrote a tshuva. And the tshuva was as follows. Just read some of the words inside. Nishalti hayoyim. I was asked today, Imut legaleach al yedei meshicha b'chol HaMoed. Could a person cut his hair on Chol HaMoed? So it says, Dinoi b'Yehuda, L'fish hayoyim etstarim b'yoyser, elo arigilim legaleach zikna. These people that asked me these questions, these were people that were having a tremendous amount of tzar, because they're people that they're used to shaving, and now they weren't able to. Hine, asarti l'chalutin. I want you to know, I had paskin all the years that it's awesome, 100%. Kivin shakala paskin nechlekol Rabbeinu Tam. Because everyone argued with Rabbeinu Tam. Which Rabbeinu Tam? Sherat zoloy meshemisha gilach erev aregel, mutter loy legaleach beregel. The only person that would maybe find the tzad heter for you to be able to ever cut your hair on Chol HaMoed, unless you fall into one of the categories of the Mishnah, would be Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, if you megaleach erev yontif, you'd be able to shave on Chol HaMoed. But everybody argued with Rabbeinu Tam. So the Nabi Yehuda said, there was nothing I could do. But he said, but these chevre, they were mamish betzar. They wanted so badly to be able to cut their hair. So I decided, nosati libi. So I made the following cheshbon. Shegaver Rabba Amar Milsa. If a Gaver Rabba says something, he was referring to Rabbeinu Tam. Ein mazichin v'loy maznichin. You can't macher avek. You can't just dismiss it. V'kal v'choymer dover zeh. And certainly this thing. Sherabbeinu agadu Rabbeinu Tam amrai. That who's the one who said it? It's Rabbeinu Tam. Chayav emanu l'mashkuni aderav. We have no choice, but we have to try to understand it. So says the Noi de Behuda, I'm sitting down now, and I'm going to write a tshuva to try to be miyashiv this Rabbeinu Tam that nobody agreed with. Not the Tor, not the Mechaber, not the Ramah, none of the Rishonim said this chiddush. It's Rabbeinu Tam's his own chiddush, and at first glance it sounds like it's Sarachin from the Gemara. Number one, the Mishnah doesn't even mention it. The Mishnah mentions Ve'elu Megalchim Lemoyim, and it didn't mention this. And besides for the other kashas that are on Rabbeinu Tam. So says the Noi de Behuda, I'm going to make a cheshbon, and I think it's a Pashta cheshbon, and he says, I think it's Emes. And that is, it's mavur in the Mishnah that you're not allowed to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. Why? The Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason? So the Gemara says, just like the Anshei Mishmar, the Anshei Maimon weren't allowed to cut their hair during the Mishmar, during the Maimon, Kidei Shalai Kansu, the Mishmar, Tung Shem, and Uvalin. So too, a person is not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed, Kidei Shalai Yichnasu, the regular Kshum, and Uvalin. It's like this, he's not going to enter Yontif, looking in a state of Nivul. Says the Noi de Behuda, let me ask you, why did the Gemara have to come on to a new reason? Why don't you just say Pasha? We just learned the first 12 dafin of Masechtas Ma'akot. And emerged from the first 12 dafin that there's an issa to do malacha on Chol HaMoed. Now for a person to cut his hair, goyzeis, that's a malacha. It's a malacha deiraisa. It's not something you're allowed to do. So Frank the Noid of Yehuda, why did the Mishnah or the Gemara have to come with a new reason? Why it is that you're not allowed to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed? Typically, it's Pasha. The reason you're not allowed to do it is because it's a malacha. The Teretz is, and Tais already speaks to that in the Sugya, it's Pashet. It's because, even though you're not allowed to do Malach and Chol HaMoed, but we know there are five exceptions to the rule. One of the exceptions to the rule is if it's Letzairach HaMoed. So if a person on Chol HaMoed is cutting his hair because he wants to look nice, so in that instance, it's going to be Letzairach HaMoed. And being that it's Letzairach HaMoed, so it's for that reason, it's going to be okay. So it says, the Noi de Behuda, if that's the case, I don't understand Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said a chiddush. Rabbeinu Tam said that if a person cut his hair erev yontif, he's allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. Right, someone took a haircut erev yontif, he's allowed to take a haircut Chol HaMoed. Or if somebody trimmed his beard erev yontif, he's allowed to trim his beard on Chol HaMoed. Or if somebody shaved on erev yontif, he's allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Says the Noi de Yehuda. I understand that Rabbeinu Tam held that the Tam of the Gemara, Kadesh La Yichnesu L'Regel K'Shem Menuvolin, would not apply in this instance. That was the whole point of Rabbeinu Tam. Why are you not letting cut your hair? Kadesh La Yichnesu L'Regel K'Shem Menuvolin, because God, it's not Negeya. Why is it not Negeya? Because right now, this person, he did do what he was supposed to do erev yontif. Of his luck tonight, we'd have a different problem. Because the only reason you're allowed to cut your hair is, even though it's a malacha, it's because it's Lutzair Chamayit. What's Lutzair Chamayit now? This is Lutzair Chamayit? What, you can't go 48 hours looking a little bit unkempt? Echateisa. That's Lutzair Chamayit. And by the way, and this is very, very important, as Hashem, we're going to get there. Not today, but we're going to get there. And that is that really the minhagim of shaving and trimming and cutting here, it varies from generation to generation. So today there's a concept of a 5 o'clock shadow. That clearly didn't exist before there were electric shavers. Shaving was a lot more complicated back in the day. So back then, a person goes 2-3 days without cutting his hair, said the Noi de Yehuda, I'm looking around. That's not considered Tzair HaMoyed. There's no way that's Tzair HaMoyed. So he says, I don't understand Pasha Pshar Rabbeinu Tam. Nochem. The Gemara came up with a whole new reason why you're not allowed to cut your hair on Chol HaMoed. Frank, the Noid of Yehuda, why do you need a new reason for? Typically, there's anyways an issue to do Malacha. The Teretz says, is it Tzair HaMoyed? Oh, very good answer. Is it Tzair HaMoyed? Oh, but that's all good if you talk it didn't shave before Yontif. But what about someone that did cut his hair? He did trim his beard. He did shave before Yontif. So this person is what? This person is already someone that he was addressed the Kadesh La Yichnesu. But at the same time, it's not Tzair HaMoed. So if it's not Tzair HaMoed, it should be awesome inside the Issa Malacha. So says the Noi de Yehuda, and you have to hold on to your seat. He says, I hold that Rabbeinu Tam said it's mutter for a person to cut his hair. In the event he cut his hair before Yontif, he only meant if you can do it by conforming and complying with one of the exceptions to the rule that the Mishnah Berurah speaks at in the beginning of Siman Tov Kof Lamed. He only meant if he could do it in a way where it's going to shtim with all the heterim that we learned about in the first two prakim of the Masechta. So what would that be? What would be a hechatimtza of how that would be mutter? What would be the case? Dovra Ovid? Maybe. But that's not what Rabbeinu Tam was talking about. So where would that ever be negated? He says you would have to do it al yedei apoyel she'ema mayoicha. And that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. He says, Poshet me, that's what Rabbeinu Tam meant. That he meant you have to do it all your day. An Ani, an Ariman, who Poshet doesn't have food for Yontif. And just like Dalach is, you're allowed to buy things from him, even though you don't need it. You just learned the Mishnah. Why? Because he's Ein Leimai Yoichel. And there's a whole bunch of Halachas that you're allowed to do. You can hire, you can have your whole business working, as long as you're employing people that are Ein Leimai Yoichel. Because that's an exception to the rule where Masar Kassel Chachamim, that you're allowed to do Malacha Chol HaMoed, even if you don't miss Malachas, this is the Reisa. It doesn't matter. That's giving me mutter. That was the only time Rabbeinu Tam was matrit, because it's true Rabbeinu Tam svar is a festive svar to address the time of the Gemara. What happened? Kadesh lo yichnas to the regel k'shem and uval. But what happened to the Issam Halacha? Ordinarily, the reason the Gemara didn't say because it's not because of Tzair HaMoed. But in this person, he just shaved Erev Yontif. He shaved 2 days ago. So where's the Tzair HaMoed? The Teretz is taken not Tzair HaMoed. And the only time it's going to be mutter is if he did it like they poil she'in l'mayoicha. So here's the punchline. So said the Noi de Yehuda. You want to know why the Mishnah, according to Rabbeinu Tam, didn't mention the Eilam Agalcha Mamayid? Why didn't it mention someone that took a haircut Erev Yontif? It's because the Mishnah is talking about people that are allowed to cut their hair in any way, shape, or form, where there are no strings attached, where you could do it however you want it, whyever you want it, whenever you want it. So the Eilam Agalcha Mamayid, when is it mutter, as if it's literally an Erev Shabbos and you're preparing for Shabbos? Habalim din asayam, umi beis hashiv, vayoyitz beis hasurim vamanudah shetiru lechachom, v'chim mishetir nishol lechachom v'hutar, v'anos v'amatsoy roi l'matmatsal tarasi. The person in Rabbeinu Tam's case, where the person took a haircut, he shaved Erev Yontif, and now on Chol HaMoed he wants to shave again, that person, it's true, he's Ve'ilam Agalchim, but only Al Yedei an Ani, only Al Yedei an Ani, She'em Le'im Ayoichal. I mean that he can only do it Al Yedei an Ani, She'em Le'im Ayoichal. He can only do it in certain instances, so it's for that reason, it's not an unequivocal heter, and it's for that reason, the Mishnah never mentioned it. So said the Noi de Yehuda, that a Gavri Rabba says something, a Gavri Rabba befrat Rabbeinu Tam, we have to be miyashiv it. And it can't be that Rabbeinu Tam said a halacha that's shver, not just from a diuk and from a nuance and a dover that's totally b'shikul adas, but it can't be shver from the Mishnah. And now the first line of the Mishnah, the Elam Magalcha Mamayid says the Torah, I don't know, it doesn't say Rabbeinu Tam Sfar. You know why it doesn't say Rabbeinu Tam? Because the Mishnah is talking about things that are always going to be mutter, no matter how. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's only going to be mutter, Ayidei Poyel, She'elam Ayoichel. You know why? Because in Rabbeinu Tam's case, it's not Tzarech Mayid anymore. And because it's not Tzarech Mayid, you have to fit into one of the other safe harbors of the previous two Prokim, and the only one it would fit into is with an Ani She'elam Ayoichel, and that's the only time it's going to be mutter. So says the Noida Behuda, I want to say even a bigger Chiddush. I want to say that I don't even know if that's what Rabbeinu Tam means, if Rabbeinu Tam is saying something that the Rishonim would have disagreed with. The only reason, says the Noida Behuda, I think everybody shrieked at Rabbeinu Tam was because they didn't understand Rabbeinu Tam the way I understood Rabbeinu Tam. I understood that Rabbeinu Tam was saying that it's going to be mutra al-yidei oni, she'en l'mayoicha. I think everybody thought Rabbeinu Tam meant that you can do it however you want to do it. And that's why everybody shried Chai V'Kayim. And Rabbeinu Tam, it can't be. And that's why the Torah knocked it out. And the Mechav and the Ramah, they both didn't bring it. Abizak, the Noida Behuda, if all Rabbeinu Tam meant was that it would be Mutra Yidei Oni She'ima Mayoicha, is it such a Chiddush, what Rabbeinu Tam is saying? Mechateisa. Why is it so schwer? I don't know if it's such a Chiddush. And I don't even know if the Rishonim who didn't say what Rabbeinu Tam said would have ever argued with Rabbeinu Tam. This is what the Noida Behuda wrote. So at the end of the tshuva, this is what he said. Therefore, I believe, if a person shaved, he cut his hair, Erev Yontif. We don't just have someone to rely on, but we have a pillar, literally, of barzel to be Simon Khan. That's Rabbeinu Tam. Even though everybody argued, I think it's going to be mutter. Ubefrat the misha hoylech uba itzal asorim v'duchsim. Befrat for someone that's accustomed to be amongst government officials. V'rogel l'saper b'choleis. And this person is rogel to be m'saper b'choleis. Shetzar gadol hu loy begufay l'gadol seir. A person like this, for him to have to grow his hair, it's just a lot of tzar. V'gam l'lagu l'kelis b'ni asarim. And not just that, people are going to make fun of him. Shemuta le'ish kazeh l'smeichal heter anal. A person like this has a right to be soymech a heter anal. And this was the tshuva that the Noida Behuda wrote. Noida Behuda said that there's a shittas Rabbeinu Tam, and even though the achroinim, everybody was doicha, everybody knocked out Rabbeinu Tam, but at the same time, kedai Rabbeinu Tam l'smeichal b'sha'as adchak. And he says, befrat ayidei poil she'en me mayo. And befrat, if this is a person who's ruggle to cut his hair regularly, so that for him it's tzar, and not just that, it can lead to bezyoinis, mutter le'ish kozeh, lismoich al heter anal. After the Noida Behuda wrote this tshuva, and it was printed in Shilos HaTshuvas, Noida Behuda Madura Kama, which was printed during the lifetime of the Noida Behuda, it seemed this tshuva got around. And it made a tumult. It didn't just make a tumult, but literally the entire world, the entire yeshiva world, went up in arms. And people couldn't believe that a gadol on the caliber of the Noida Behuda would have written this. Everybody knows that a yid is not allowed to cut his hair on Chol HaMoed. You're not allowed to do it. And even though it's true, there is a favar for Neshitas Rabbeinu Tam, but at the same time, the Torah brings Rabbeinu Tam and he's doich Rabbeinu Tam. And the Mechab and the Ramah bring Rabbeinu Tam and they're doich Rabbeinu Tam. Everybody was doich Rabbeinu Tam. So if everybody was doich Rabbeinu Tam, this is not something you're allowed to do. So it's certainly, how could the Noida Behuda go 500-600 years later and issue a heter, a psak, based on a Rabbeinu Tam, that everybody was already doich? Now just to bring out, just to give you a time and a flavor for what it means that everybody, that there was a tumult going on, the Chidah in his Sefer Shailos HaTshuvos is Yosef Oimetz. So he writes as follows, just one excerpt, just to get an idea of what was going on. He says, Ubevoy le'Amsterdam. When I arrived in Amsterdam, Yodati Mishailos HaTshuvos Noida Behuda. I heard about the Sefer Shailos HaTshuvos Noida Behuda. He calls it Chadoshes, new Sefer. Shnesham Hitler HaRav, the Rav, is referring to the Noida Behuda, Rabbi Cheska Lando, Giluach B'chol HaMoed, Im Gileich Merev Yotif. He allowed someone to shave on Chol HaMoed, with the exception, of course, the caveat that he already cut his hair, he shaved Erev Yontif, and only Ayidei Poyol She'en Lo Mayoicha. Only if it was done Ayidei Poyol She'en Lo Mayoicha. So he says like this, V'ulam, boy beperek ro'isi, around that same time I saw, Asher tekev ozru chayel ha-ga'oinim. I saw there were many ga'oinim that ganged up. They got very excited about what the Noida Behuda said. Who were these ga'oinim? Rav Shel Berlin, for Rav Shnel Amsterdam. V'gam yodati nemana. I also know that Rabbanei Goyne Poilin, the Ashkenaz, heitev chor lehem. They were also very upset at this. Al heter zeh ukemat nogul b'kvod harav, and they kemat touched on the covet of the Noida Behuda. The ain't suffix says the Chida, ki Rabbanei Eretz Yisrael, the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael, the Kastandina, the Izmir, the Salaniki, the whole Turkey, Mitzrayim and Egypt, the Damesek, the Aram Tzoyva, the Aria Mayriv, Pnimi v'chitzoyim, Kulam Yaskimu Rabbani Poilin v'Ashkenaz Negeda Goyim Rabbi Cheskla Rav Mechab Noida Behuda. Unbelievable. See, he literally quotes the entire map, went through command every single zip code where there were Jews living at that time. Literally, mamish, he goes through the entire globe. And he says every single place, from Poland to Turkey to Eretz Yisrael to Italy, mamish, everywhere. They all ganged up and they all said things where they were command nogu b'kvay darav. They command touched on the cover of the Heilige Noida B'Yehuda. And he says that the Noida B'Yehuda said this chiddush. People knew who he was, but they didn't care. And they felt they had a fight. They felt this was something that warranted a tremendous macha, because at the end of the day, this is not something that you're allowed to do. So the truth is, this created a tremendous, tremendous controversy. And really, it had the billings of what every single controversy has. Number one, rumors started spreading that the Noida B'Yehuda, even though he wrote this tshuva, but he was really chayzer. People said he was chayzer. Right, that's what happens. Every time you have a good controversy, this conspiracy theories. He said it, but he sent me a personal tshuva. No one knows about it. I'm the only one that knows. And he told me he never really meant it. Dvarim b'teilam uvutalim. There were even people that claimed that the whole Rabbeinu Tam that the Noida B'Yehuda was basing his tshuva on, Rabbeinu Tam never even said. They even had raya's that Rabbeinu Tam never said it. Because all the svarim that usually quote Rabbeinu Tam never quoted this Rabbeinu Tam. Could be what happened was there was a Talmud Taya. Maybe there was a Torah. The Torah brought a Yesh Oimrim. It was a Yesh Oimrim, Yud Aleph. And there was a Talmud Taya. Instead of Yud Aleph, he wrote Resh Tav. I mean, Rabbeinu Tam is not usually spelled out in Sfarim. It's usually written as an acronym, Resh Tav. So maybe that's just the way it ended up happening. But the point is, there was conspiracy, Al-Gabi conspiracy. Because nobody believed that the Noida B'Yehuda could have written something like this. It was just too big of a chiddush. And again, why is it such a chiddush? Because all the poskim were doichets, often Allah and Shulchan Aruch, that we don't paskin like this Rabbeinu Tam. And not just that, there's Minig Yisrael Torah. No one ever was saimich on this Rabbeinu Tam. And how would all of a sudden the Noida B'Yehuda come along in Prague in the latter part of the 18th century and Ishnu such a kula? So here's the question. Did the Noida B'Yehuda say this? Did he not say it? Was he impressed by all the noise? The truth is, the Noida B'Yehuda himself addressed this. Because many years after the Patira of the Noida B'Yehuda's son, Rav Shmuel Landau, he put out Chelik Beis, Madura Tinyana of Shailos Teshuvas Noida B'Yehuda. And when he put out Madura Tinyana, he went through, as he writes in the Hakdama, all his father's amtachas of tshuvas, and he went through the whole stack of tshuvas. And there were three tshuvas that the Noida B'Yehuda had written on this topic as follow-up to all the tumult and all the noise that the Chidah was referring to in that tshuva in Yosef Oimetz. He printed them in Noida B'Yehuda Madura Tinyana. And if you go through those tshuvas, not only did the Noida B'Yehuda not back down, but he doubled down. And he went chai v'kayim. And these tshuvas are nothing compared to what the Noida B'Yehuda wrote in those tshuvas. As it relates to them, Yetz Hashem, we'll have to wait for part 2, which will be Be'ezus Hashem tomorrow.